Welcome to the sermon podcast of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by Pastor Jonathan Meixel.
Well, sometimes we just need to take a breath. Sometimes we just need to take a break. Sometimes we need to find rest. Have you ever gone to sleep and awakened in the morning more tired than when you went to bed? You didn't find much rest. Maybe you've taken a week of vacation and you've gotten home and you've said something like, "I need to take a vacation for my vacation." You didn't find rest. Or maybe you're at the end of a summer unlike we've had in recent memory. And it seems like we should be prepared for the start of the new school year, or the program year, or all that lies ahead as we come into September and the starts of new things that happen at this time of year. So you don't feel very prepared. You haven't found rest. I haven't found rest. In one sense, it would seem like this year, among all, we should be recharged. We should be ready to go. In many cases, we haven't been able to do a lot of the traditional things that we do in the summer, and we've been a little slower this summer in some respects. Many of the activities haven't happened. We should be recharged, ready to go. Many of us feel just the opposite. We're tired. We're stressed. We're worn out. We don't know which way to turn or how long we can continue doing the things that we've been doing over the last 5 and 6 months. We need to find true rest. Is it possible? If you can relate to any of what I just said, I have some good news for you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." God wants you to find rest. Rest for your weary body. Rest for your burdened spirit. Rest for your overloaded mind. Now, for some, that may sound like a pie-in-the-sky fairy tale. There's no way that God can give me that kind of rest. But Jesus invites you and invites me into that experience today. So for the next few minutes, as we share together, I want to invite you to relax. Listen to what Jesus experienced and found and what he invites us to experience, that we too can find rest. There's an amazing example of rest in the midst of some of the most trying circumstances that we can begin to imagine. It's found in Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 35, and I'm going to read that for you now. "On that day, when evening had come, he, being Jesus, said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him, and they said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?' And they were filled with great awe, and they said to one another, 'Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" Can you picture the scene there? "Jesus, what are you doing? Our world's crashing around us. We're about to die, and you're sleeping? Don't you care about us? Aren't you concerned about our safety? The disciples were nervous wrecks. These were veterans of the sea who must have been facing one significant storm because they were scared to death, and they had seen some pretty rough nights on the sea. They didn't know how it was possible that Jesus could find rest, could go to sleep in the midst of such turmoil. But in the midst of that turmoil, that's precisely what Jesus did. It's one of the most dramatic, one of the most striking contrasts that we see in all of Scripture. While a tremendous storm raged around them, Jesus was so relaxed, he could fall asleep. How is that possible? And is it possible for us, in the midst of trying and difficult times, can we really find that kind of peace? What's interesting, as we begin to look and think about that, to know that Jesus was indicating to his followers that the circumstances around them should not have been the determining factor on whether or not they found peace. Jesus was asleep in the midst of the storm, and he also calmed the storm. And you know, sometimes it's easier, we think it's easier, when it's a nice, placid, calm lake to sleep at that point. But Jesus is inviting us and is helping us to recognize here today that there are times when the storm is not going to stop. We still need that rest. We still need to find ways to say, how do we sleep in the midst of the COVID storm that's passing all around us? How do we find that rest? Now, at the outset, I want to make one key distinction that I think is important. There are really two types of rest for us to consider. These types of rest are related and they impact one another, but they're also distinct. We need rest on the one hand on an emotional and an internal kind of level. That's part of what Jesus is instructing and guiding us to. And we also need a physical rest, that sort of external, that sleep, that physical time when we find true rest. Now, we know that they're related, don't we? If you've ever had trouble going to sleep because things were running around in your mind all night long, that shows you that your emotional, your mental state impacts your ability to physically go to sleep. Or if you've fallen asleep, but you wake up and you're all tense and you've been sleeping for hours, but you feel like you didn't really get any sleep. That again, often is our mental and internal projection onto our physical bodies. And it can work the other way as well, can it? You know, if I go a long period of time without getting sleep, my emotional, my intellectual state can be really impacted. If I don't get much sleep, or if there's a period of time where I'm not getting sleep, you know, I can get really edgy. I can get really grouchy. I can get really, it can be tough to have any patience at all for the situations and the circumstances around us. Rest, both emotional and physical, are both important. They relate to one another, and it's important for us to recognize that distinction that happens between them. So what does all this mean for our lives? What does the Bible say to us about finding rest? It actually says a lot. And in fact, very, very early on, the beginning of chapter 2 of the book of Genesis, we see God actually engaging in rest. It says there, on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it, God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. And we might wonder, what did it mean for God to rest? I mean, surely it wasn't the same for God as it is for us. Or was it? Even in creation, God recognized the importance of work and the importance of stopping from work or rest. Whether or not God physically needed that rest, God set for us the example of the significance of time away from work to be rejuvenated, to be physically, emotionally, spiritually renewed in who and what we are. In a similar manner, when Jesus came to this earth, God in human form, Jesus also created space where both Jesus and his followers could get some rest. In Mark chapter 6, beginning of verse 30, we read this. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Don't you love the reality of what's happening there? This had been a particularly busy time in the life of the disciples. They had been set out by Jesus two by two to take the ministry beyond the walls of just working with Jesus. It had no doubt been a physically and emotionally trying and draining time. And when they came back, Jesus knew that they needed time to recoup, to be rejuvenated. They didn't even have time to eat their lunch together. They needed some time to catch their breath. They needed to recoup. And Jesus invited them to find that rest. It was okay to stop the work. It was okay to stop what was happening around them and to rest their weary bodies and souls. And that brings us to what I think is an important first lesson from God regarding rest. There are times in Scripture when we are commanded to act or not to act in certain ways. There are particular behaviors for which God gives clear directives. But when it comes to rest, there seems to be, I think, a different tone. God isn't compelling us to find rest. God is actually inviting us to find rest. Rest is actually a gift that comes to us from God to bring renewal and refreshment to our bodies. The reason that's important is because there's something in our normal human makeup in which we tend to bristle when we are compelled to do something, right? We all have a certain amount of rebelliousness in ourselves that comes out when someone says, "Do this." You know, if I come up with the idea that I need to take the trash out to the curb, that's coming from me. But if somebody tells me, "Hey, take that trash out," there's a difference in those two things, right? And we all know quickly that when it comes to rest, we need it. We don't have to be convinced that we need it. We can't live very long without finding the importance of refreshment of our minds and body. We know we need it. More often than not, our problem is not recognizing the need. Instead, it's finding and taking the opportunity to actually rest. And it's precisely at that point that Jesus comes in and Jesus says, "I invite you to take this time away to find rest." In Jesus' day, there were a lot of rules and regulations that were put into place by the religious establishment, particularly surrounding Sabbath rest, that one day a week when it was they were called to rest. Rules were set up so that people didn't accidentally work on the seventh day. These rules were so particular that sometimes it almost became ridiculous. For example, the Jewish Sabbath tradition outlawed things like sowing and plowing and spinning and tying and untying and extinguishing or kindling fire and all sorts of other things. That, okay, we might recognize that for what it is. But then they took it another step because they said, so that you don't even get close to breaking those rules, we're going to put additional rules on top of them. And so, for example, so as not to break the rule against harvesting an entire field, they established the rule that even to pluck one head of grain, even one, was breaking the Sabbath. Now, obviously, there's a big difference between harvesting an entire field and plucking one single head of grain. But by creating more and more fences, the real meaning of the day became lost. Instead of it being about finding this rest in God, finding this restoration in God, it became about following a list of rules that actually made it more difficult to find rest. And to that, Jesus made this statement in Mark 2:27. "The Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath." In other words, the Sabbath day of rest, it's a gift from God, a gift to we human beings to find rest. Not a burden added to make our life more difficult. God's desire is for us to find rest. Rest for both our minds and our bodies. God is at work making that rest possible. Instead of seeing these calls for rest as duty, we're invited to see them as an invitation from God to find what we recognize and we readily need. So we recognize rest is something for which God has set an example and invites us to receive it. We also see in the Bible a very interesting rhythm and a pattern to that rest. The first opportunity for rest comes on a daily basis, right? This is probably the form of rest that we're most familiar with. Even from the very earliest parts of our lives, we sleep parts of every single day. You can't go very many days in a row without sleep before your body will simply not continue to function. Regular daily rest is critical for life. The significance of this rest is highlighted for us in the Bible in a rather unique and interesting manner. In our culture, we think of days beginning in the morning when we wake up and culminating at the end by going to sleep. And we sleep through the end of the day and then it starts again in the morning. But the Hebrew understanding of the day was very different. The Hebrews understood the day to begin at sundown, at the end of the workday. And so their day began with rest and then culminated with work. So, for example, we see in the Genesis account of creation, it says, "And there was evening and there was morning the first day, the second day, the third day." You see that? There was evening and then there was morning the first day. What difference does that make? Well, it puts an emphasis on the importance of rest, and particularly as a means of preparation for the work ahead, not as a means of recuperation from what has already been done. Now, that may seem subtle, but it is a helpful reminder to all of us. Daily rest is a helpful gift to each of us from God. God's gift of rest also comes to us on a weekly basis. We've already mentioned about how God established the pattern of one day of rest by doing so after the 6 days of creation. And this was worked into the Ten Commandments to the people of Israel as they were called to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And again, as we remember what we observed before, this is as much an invitation as anything else. It was for the good of the Hebrews, and it's for our good that this provision is established. I think in the hustle and bustle of our world, it's particularly helpful. There's always something else to do, one more task to be accomplished. There's always something else for all of us to get done. And God says to us, and God invites us today to say, you know what? It's going to be okay. It doesn't have to be done today. You are invited to that one day a week to find rest, recuperation, renourishment. Part of the reminder of the Sabbath and rest is to recognize that it's God who provides for our needs, and we don't have to put all that burden on ourselves. In the agrarian society of the Old Testament, Hebrews generally, if you didn't work, you didn't eat. There weren't ways to preserve food for long periods of time, and so to take a day off a week meant you ran the risk of not having food to eat. And so it was in taking that day that the Hebrews were reminded of their trust. Their need to trust in God, who would provide for their needs. How often do we think that we can't possibly avoid doing work on certain days? God will take care of us. May we find that weekly rest. God makes provision for daily and weekly opportunities for rest in the Bible. And I think those are the most familiar to us, most easily recognized. We might be surprised, though, to recognize that God also makes provision for periodic, longer periods of rest. Something similar to what we might call a vacation or a holiday. In the giving of the law by God in the Old Testament, the books of Leviticus and Numbers, a series of annual feasts and festivals, some of them lasting an entire week, were laid out as remembrance of God's provision for his people. It was also not only a time to remember what God had done, but it was a time for a different kind of schedule, a time to be renewed, refreshed, and nourished. There are times when a night of sleep or even a day of rest aren't enough. We need longer periods to refresh our minds and our bodies, to engage with family and friends, and to recognize the wonder and the goodness of God. We're invited to find rest for those longer periods of time as well. Well, as we mentioned earlier in this sermon, rest is not always easy to find. Sometimes this is all easier said than done. What do we do when we struggle to find rest? As we wrap things up today, I want to just suggest two things. First suggestion is to ask God to give us rest. It may sound ridiculously simple, but it's definitely the place to start. I know very often if I'm awake at night, I wake up and my mind is racing, I pray this simple prayer. Lord, please give me rest. Lord, please give me rest. Lord, please, please give me rest. And something interesting happens about the fourth or fifth or sixth time that I pray something like that. I begin to feel God entering into that situation, bringing relax to my body, reminding me God's presence, God's love, and God's care. God invites us to ask. Ask for his help in the midst of trying times. Second way to enhance our opportunity for rest is to prepare for it. In the Old Testament, the people of Israel were instructed to make preparations on the sixth day so that on the seventh day, the food was ready or whatever it might be. They had things ready to go on that seventh day. Rest and worship would be enhanced if they would take the time and the energy to prepare for it ahead of time. And in a similar manner, it's important for us to recognize the opportunity and the call to prepare. To prepare for that daily time of going to sleep. To sort of slow things down a little bit ahead so that when it's time to go to bed, we're ready to sleep. Or as we're getting to the end of the sixth day and we're heading toward the Sabbath, that we slow down and we prepare our hearts and our minds. Or as we're getting ready for that vacation, that we slow down. Again, I know it's easier said than done, but that's the invitation that we see from God in this passage. I don't know how you react to a sermon like this. Maybe most of you who are out there say, you know what, I have plenty of ability to find rest. Maybe the only person that this sermon was for today is me, because I can tell you, I struggle in all three of those areas. Struggle finding daily rest, struggle finding weekly rest, struggle finding those sporadic rests. And I'm reminded today, not of this compulsion to rest, this invitation to rest. I'm reminded today that God invites me and invites you to ask for and receive his help. God is a God from the very beginning of creation, rested, knows the importance of that rest for each one of us, and invites us to find it today. Well, God, we're grateful for your love for us. We're grateful for the example of rest. We're grateful for the gift of rest to which you invite us each day. May you help us to find that rest, that comfort, that strength, that nourishment to our minds and to our bodies that only you can give. We're grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.